1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, as mentioned, it is a very important day to get out and vote. Yes, it is a primary, but still, it leads the way as far as the general election. And a lot of thinking. And we'll top it off in this segment. And it is the final spotlight segment here of the morning. And as mentioned, the sheriff's post, a very coveted position. Why? Vince DeMarco is leaving after 12 years. There are a ton of issues on the table, very important for the future of the county. The other prime contender is with us in studio, and his name, of course, is Larry Zacharys. And we welcome you, sir.
Jay, thanks for having me back on again. Always happy to be here.
It is great to have you here, Larry, of course. Larry, give us some credentials. Currently an assistant police chief over at Stony Brook, correct?
That's correct. Been there for 8 years. Spent the 11 and a half years before that in the New York City Police Department. I left as a sergeant working in Jackson Heights, Queens. Before that, started off as a paramedic in the mid-90s. Been working at the Suffolk County Fire Academy since 1994, doing some teaching as an adjunct professor. I went to law school along the way, opened up a practice in Smithtown. So I've been working to, as we've said before on the show, to hone the credentials academically.
Indeed, no question about it. And you and I have spoken before, as with other candidates, as they get into this day. I mean, I'm sure you woke up way before the alarm went off. I mean, there's got to be a sense of excitement beyond as far as the Zacharys mindset is concerned.
Yeah, I think it's certainly an anxiety for sure. It's a positive anxiety. We've worked for 9 months, yeah, for this, and all of our volunteers. And tonight, when the results start coming back in, we're confident we left nothing on the table. Left it on the field.
And, you feel good about a lot of things.
We feel great.
And
feel great.
You have certainly made the rounds. What's been reaction like? I mean, what has been reaction like as far as some of the county residents here? They've seen a guy hold the post for 12 years. That's a long time, a dozen years. Vince DeMarco's name rings, for a lot of folks out there. But what's it like to try and get the name out? I asked Tracy Edwards this earlier as Frank Petrone makes his exit after 24 years, although not as long. You still have a pretty iconic type figure at that post in Vince DeMarco.
Early on, the branding of the campaign, if you will, was really an education, to let people know that it was an open seat, that Vinny was not seeking re-election, and that it was a bona fide open seat. Once we got past that and we started really talking about the issues and making the rounds, and, it's a big county, and everyone told me early on, it's a big county, you're going to be tired. And they were right. It's a big county, and I'm tired.
And you talk about a post. If anybody kind of Googles this post, the sheriff's position, you'll see it. Doesn't just go back 40, 50 years. There's history to this post. This thing goes back. If you go into the 1600s, you'll find the embryonic stages of the Suffolk County Sheriff's
post. It was just Suffolk County and Nottingham were elected sheriffs at the time.
Pretty much, but there's a lot of history. And then, therefore, there is a lot as far as carrying the torch, right?
A deep history. And I think, Vinny's done a great job. There's been a lot of progress in the last 12 years. But there's a long way to go. A lot of the issues that we're facing. We did a teletown hall a week and a half ago, and we did a poll in the middle of it, and no surprise, drugs, gangs, and, violent crime.
Those are the top two, right?
Top two, and, violent crime and property crime that are related to the other two. So I think that, people are looking for a change. They're looking for someone, as we talked about in the last couple of shows, the proverbial outsider, the not the career politician, somebody who's coming with a different lens, a different skill set, and I think that appeals to a lot of voters.
Jeffrey.
We're talking, this race is a real canary in a coal mine insofar as that a lot of counties don't elect sheriffs, one. And two, you have a situation where you have an establishment politician gets the Republican nomination and someone in the form of yourself is able to successfully petition their way onto the ballot, raise enough money to be competitive, get institutional support, and get Newsday support in the rarest of all things, a countywide Republican primary. So tell me, it's election day. You can betray a little bit of this. What is the strategy to make sure that you are victorious tonight?
I'll tell you this, Jeff. It's a great question. So early on, we started off, when I say we, it's a small collective of grassroots people. Anyone who's helping me, you know, are there because they want to be there. You know, family and friends, but they're a very small collective.
Right.
And we said, you know, it's going to be tough. And everything we do, they're going to try every trick in the book. We're fighting the machine, right? Mm. And the money's going to be tough to raise because you're the outsider, especially after, you know, he became the nominee.
Oh, sure.
So raising money was tough. And then, you know, the petition process is tough because you have the machine of 10 towns, you know, committee people in 10 towns.
Oh, we were talking about this earlier, how an absurd barrier to entry the petitioning process is, and few people experience that in a more tangible way than you did.
And I gave a vow early on, you know, much to the chagrin of my campaign manager at one of our early press conferences. I said, I guarantee we'll be on the ballot.
That would have given me agita too if I was running your campaign, for sure.
I think I gave him a lot of agita along the way. But, you know, I think that put some pressure on me, but I work very well under pressure. So I knew we could do it. I knew we had the people to do it. And we started a movement. We started a movement of people who decided, you know what, enough is enough. And I really want a choice. And I want a qualified choice. Mm-hmm. And that 9 months later, here we are.
Well, piggybacking on the issue of qualified choices, what impact do you think Newsday is going to have on this primary ultimately?
You know, I think that the readership, the local, I mean, Newsday is the paper, right? So I think that the editorial speaks volumes of their perception of the process. And really aligns with what a lot of people have said all along. You know, they're tired of the choices being made for them. They're tired of, you know, the backroom deal, you know, the specter that's over politics, sure. Nassau County, Suffolk County. So this race is changing a lot of things, for sure. Not because it's me. It has nothing to do with me. Well, I guess something to do. I'm the candidate, right? But I think the race is really going to change the political landscape.
We are talking with Larry Zacharys, who is vying for a very coveted position. Rich in history, as mentioned there, everything else. You mentioned gangs and drugs, obviously two big topics. We've made pretty good headway as far as the gangs. We've seen task forces. We've seen task forces way back, going back 17, 18 years, Larry, dismantled. We know the story there. And then all of a sudden up to speed again. And we've seen a lull in the action recently. But certainly, as mentioned many a time on this program, never the guard can be lessened here. You know, it's a constant fight and everything else. We have heard talk of who's a sanctuary city, who's not a sanctuary city, deportation, immigration. I mean, there's some big-time topics all within this thing.
Yeah, and I think you know, a lot of this came up during the debate we had on News 12, and a lot of the issues are certainly – they're still hot-button issues. I think we need to really take a moment and pay homage to the people that you don't hear about, those that are working behind the scenes, those that are working undercover, sitting in dark rooms on wiretaps and doing that long, arduous investigative work. And although you said you talk about a lull, you might not hear about it, that work doesn't stop. And, you know, it's happening every single day, local, state, and federal agencies working together. And we need to continue that. There's no – if we falter, if we take one false step, there'll just be another way for those organizations.
And I've brought this up before many times as well. You know, we've seen outreach programs in place. We saw the night out where enforcement got together with the communities. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget about that. But that's so important to get involved in communities and give residents a chance to kind of meet you, not only in the enforcement sense, but as far as just individuals, you know, meeting individuals.
And I think a hallmark of what we said, you know, the grassroots part of our campaign, but something that's important to me is being the face of the sheriff's office to be out front, to be in the community and increase to the extent possible the amount of community officers, community relations officers that are out there doing programs K-12 in the communities with community organizations. And that's really going to be a big part of our administration after January.
No question, Jeff.
I think Suffolk County finds itself in a unique position from a law enforcement standpoint because in the past few months, you've seen both the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, as well as the President of the United States himself appear in Suffolk County and specifically address the issue of gang violence. Do you, and I'm sure Republican voters are interested in knowing, do you view what Sessions and Trump said while they were here as a call to action? Or how specifically do you plan on applying that message to the way you run this department?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think that it was in one sense reassuring. I mean, the Attorney General of the United States, the President coming to Suffolk County to specifically address the issue. There's no other talking head that could be there, right? They're here and they're obviously showing how important it is to them. That's number one. So that's a message to the collective. But locally for law enforcement, I think that it just goes to show that now they feel as though the administration is going to be behind. They feel as though that's going to be a highlight and a focus of the administration. And I know that the efforts are there and the resources are there. Suffolk County is facing tremendous fiscal constraints and tremendous fiscal challenges. So those relationships with the federal government are going to be that much more important to be able to get grant funding, to be able to work together in order to keep the momentum that we already have.
And as Key Larry Zachary's with us, and of course the other big topic is the drug situation. You know, we've seen some tough stuff come in here. You know, we've seen the cocaine and the heroin now laced with fentanyl. And we didn't see this thing laced with this type of chemical way back in time. Carfentanil now coming into play, even more powerful than the fentanyl drug. But we have made some pretty good ground. We've broken up a lot of rings and everything else. Both DAs have done a nice job, I thought, in both counties here. But the work still needs to be done. And, this, again, a lot of people will say is a federal issue as well, in big time, to get that funding in place, to make sure these borders are sewed up properly here. But nonetheless, it still comes through, Larry. And basically, you know, how are you going to kind of further the fight? We know it's all over the place. Suffolk leads the way as far as deaths, overdoses in the state. How would you kind of go about furthering the cause?
I think it needs to be a three-prong approach. First of all, to the extent possible, cut down the supply as much as you can. And in conjunction with that, work to prosecute people under the kingpin statute, look to prosecute people, you know, the profiteers, as they're called. The middle part is identifying people that are legitimately looking for help and that need help. And those are people both in the community as well as those in the correctional system, right? So the goal is to get help out and get outreach out. Also do that while they're in the facilities, but then give them a path to success on the way out. And that's going to be working with non-for-profits, working with treatment organizations to get them treatment while they're incarcerated, increase the numbers of people that are eligible for that, but then give them a path to success when we return to the community. And ultimately, the last part is keeping them there and let them stay in their community, be productive members of society, not reoffend. The goal is to keep recidivism down. So those programs have been done other places. We've seen some programs in Virginia and West Virginia where we're looking to model those. And I'm confident that with all the collective groups working together, police, fire, EMS, social work inside the organization, in the correctional facility, and out in the community, that's what it's going to take. It's going to be a partnership, and it's not a matter, I've talked about this before, it's not a matter of whose patch is on the uniform or who's looking for credit. Everybody has to leave that aside, and everyone has to step up and agree to work together.
There you go. We're talking with Larry Zacharias now. We'll bring up this and the fact that, listen, we know that Vince DiMarco has been at the helm for 12 years, and he's done a pretty good job. You know, a lot of people like Vince DiMarco. You can't hide the fact, though, under his watch, a situation came up regarding one of his lieutenants, in that of Ed Walsh. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was going on county time that a lot of people don't like to talk about, don't like to hear. A lot of money wasted and everything else. And thus, many feel, you know what, Ed Walsh kind of getting his just desserts and whatnot here. But in essence, it went under the DiMarco watch. If elected to this very coveted post, I mean, will you try anything different as far as relationships within staff? Will you have some techniques involved, checks and balances, that type of thing, to make sure your staff is, you know, pretty much, you know, listen, you're under the Zacharias umbrella now. How would you kind of go about it?
Well, I think those are great questions, fair questions, certainly that have come up everywhere we've been. Integrity is who you are when no one else is watching. That's what I was brought up for, and mm-hmm. that's a good hallmark, right? So we need to make it clear that it's a professional organization. The men and women in that organization are professionals, consummate professionals. They're an accredited organization. They want to be seen that way. And I think it's going to take some time. It's going to be some rebranding. But it's about highlighting the good things they do, the great work they do every single day. But having a absolute strict standard on zero corruption.
And it's unfortunate, and Jeff, you and I have spoken about this this morning and with some of our guests, and the fact that, you know, sometimes you just can't hide corruptive practices.
Oh, certainly not.
That take place. And even though, you know, things are kind of going smooth in some respects in many an area, there's always a flag raised when that happens. And, in this case, unfortunately, it's something that happened. But yeah, as you say, Larry, you kind of have to kind of get by and go on as take care of business.
And not be afraid to make the tough decisions. I think that, you know, there has to be a standard. That standard needs to be a high standard. And people need to be held to that and not be afraid that, you know, if you don't comply with the standards, then there's going to be, you know, repercussions. But again, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of the men and women in that organization, uniform and civilian, are hardworking, ethical people. You know, unfortunately, sometimes in any big organization, look at the New York City Police Department, you know, 40,000 people. It's unfortunately the cases that you hear about are the bad ones. We need to do a better job as administrators to highlight the good ones, but also be out front when there's a problem to embrace it.
No question.
I do agree that there's a certain amount of throwing out the baby with the bathwater in this specific instance and a lot of the others we've been talking about today. But I we talked about this as it pertains to Nassau County, but it's true in Suffolk County too. I think that the system that is in place, especially the system that allows for party bosses to pick candidates and for political institutions to be able to run machine candidates, has lent itself to a certain displeasure among the electorate. I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing so many primaries today. That's one of the reasons why we're focusing on primaries today. Yeah. I think it's one of the reasons why we've seen talented, intelligent, charismatic candidates such as yourself step forward and decide to run today. And it's going to be really interesting to see these primaries as an anecdotal case about how voters feel about issues of corruption, just like this one.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I think that you know, primaries are not popular with a lot of folks, right? Certainly not in the parties, but to me—
You may have heard that during your journey.
Once or twice, yeah, I may have heard that once or twice. It's the spirit of our democracy, and that may sound cliche, but that's the reality.
Oh, yeah.
It gives people a bona fide choice. And I've said before, you know, tonight, we're very, very confident. If for some reason we don't prevail, the voters had their choice. And that's what I promised all along, and that's what I'm happy I was able to deliver.
And that's what makes this country so great, because there is an opportunity for people to express that amendment of heading
the polls.
We just
wish it was more people. Yeah. We just wish, you know, that the number was a little bit higher than the 7.5-8% you might get out of the electorate today.
Let's hope for 10. I'm hoping for 10%.
Your mouth to God's ears on 10.
Well, let's just hope.
I'd love to see that too.
Let's just hope people, you know, have that thought process where they can say, you know what, I have nothing to complain about if I don't vote.
Well, one thing that's important, and I want to make sure we get it out there today, while it is a Republican primary, the Reform Party primary,
yeah,
there's 240,000 people out there, 240,000 of your listeners who are independent voters, not affiliated voters, who are eligible to vote today. So I'm talking to you right now, folks. You need to get out there. And they have to vote.
That is a very good point. Couple of minutes left with the Republican candidate talking with Larry Zacharias. And, you know, Larry, you've had some pretty good credentials. You know, listen, Stony Brook University, it's almost like, you know, a college campus these days. And with all the terror and everything else we've seen on campuses, I mean, that is an interesting position to me, because there's so many people that are flowing the walkways and in the buildings and everything else. Is it a tough job? In essence, a lot tougher, I think, than people think.
Well, it's a big responsibility. So we estimate anywhere between 50 to 60,000 people there every single day, 11,000 of which live there. It's more like a small city than it is, you know, a campus. It's a major operation between the hospital, between the medical center, between the veterans home, between the campus itself. You know, there's 1,500 acres of real estate there, over 250 buildings. And I'm in a non-traditional role. I'm not just in the law enforcement and the security end of things. I'm the emergency manager. So it really gives me a perspective to cover all different areas, from fire to flood to power and everything in between. So
there you go. Well, guess what? We are bitten by the clock, as they say in the business. Larry Zacharias, we cannot thank you enough for popping in here. We wish you the best of luck, and you know, I'm sure we'll have some conversations.
Thanks, I appreciate it, and thanks again for the opportunity to be here.
There you go. Larry Zacharias. Jeff Guillot, beaten by the clock as well, my friend.
Unbelievable.